It's episode 51, you son of a gun. How about them apples? I can't think of anything that rhymes with apples. Is there a name? I don't think so. Driving home. Driving home, gotta work late. Was hoping to get out earlier. I got a bunch of shit to do, but I got held up by a pickup, of course. What else is fucking new? But got stuck there. This level sounds good.
Boom,
that level sounds worse. Hang on, there you know. Okay. I'm drowning in email. I've been spending so much of my time drowning in emails. I didn't finish that word. I sounded like I said I was drowning in it. Remember last I left you, I got Mike Starr on board for my next sketch. That's what he calls him in that thing you do. How did we get here, Sketch? I'm shooting it next weekend, the weekend of the 10th of September, after Labor Day, and I got Mike Starr on board, Frenchie from Goodfellas, and I was like, cool, I got him, and then the idea slowly started to creep in. I got him. Oh, I should try to get somebody else. I mean, I got a great cast. I love everyone that's in it, because it's going to be Mac and Tim Bennett from... He was just in my last one. He was in Still People Sort of Like Whoppers. I love that guy. He was in Whoppers. And then Scotty. And then Emily, the chick. And I'm like, I got a good enough guy. Okay, I'll stick. Because I barely tried and I got Mike Starr. I wasn't even really... I was just kind of fucking around. And I really only sent it to like 5 people. And he was already ready to do it. And I've tried to get him before. And he never did. And this time I got him. So I'm like, all right, I'll try. I'll take a stab. I'll try... 1 or 2 guys, so I reached out to 1 or 2 people. Next thing you know, I went fucking insane. I probably sent 50 emails. I have fucking sent emails to everyone you can think of, man. Most of them have not wrote me back. I think I'm around seriously 40 to 50 people. I got 10 replies. I got close to fucking having Charlie Sheen, man. I thought I had him. I exchanged about 6 emails with his guy trying to lock in a date. He's like, well, Charlie can't do weekends. He can only do weekdays. And I'm like, all right, we can shoot it after 5 any time. He lives right over by my work. You know, he lives on this side of town. I'm like, anytime after 5. And then he's like, all right, let me check. And then I didn't hear nothing for a day. And then the next morning, I see an email in the box, and I see the guy's name, and I'm like, oh, my God, this could be it. And he's like, yeah, I don't think the timing's right. I was like, motherfuck! God damn it, I thought I had him, dude. Charlie Sheen and Mike Starr would have been fucking awesome. That was the closest. I tried to get Luke Duke, Tom Wopat, who also had a small part in Django Unchained. So I'm going to get Bobby out of the goddamn street, who I've been a fan of. I guess one of my earliest celebrity fucking total geek out fan people was Dukes of Hazzard. I'm talking 2 and 3 years old. Every fucking picture I have, there's Duke's memorabilia in all of it. To this day, my Aunt Madonna, I am still known as Luke Duke. Oh, hi, Luke Duke! My Aunt Madonna. And my Aunt Michelle, too. Still known as Luke. I was a fucking literally a fanatical Duke's fan. Like, not even... Every time we went to the fucking store, they would buy me... Every time we went to Hills when I was real little, they would have to buy me the General Lee Matchbox car. I mean, I had, like, 9 of these fucking things. 9 times. I had the... I had a very exclusive... Not many people had this. I had the Dukes of Hazzard pedal car where it was just fuck. Oh, this thing was so fucking. It's one of the coolest toys I've ever owned, and I'm 37. Like, you sat in it, it could carry a passenger, and the little doors opened, and the hood and the trunk opened, and you could put things in it like rocks and worms and sticks and candy and your G.I. Joe guys. It could transport things. When you're a kid, this is a fucking big deal. And you pedaled, it was fucking leg powered. I mean, you see these legs now and these calves. That's probably where it started in my little General Lee. And I would give kids rides around the neighborhood. I was the fucking shit! I lived at the bottom of a hill, so we can start at the top of the fucking hill. I mean, I don't know. I wonder if I pedaled it up the hill. If I did, I really had some little balls. But you could go down the hill and go fucking shooting down the street. In fact, if you want to see that street, I took a picture of it when I went back 4th of July on my Instagram, at UncleLuke2. There's a picture of that. I don't think I put it on my Flickr page. FLICKR Life, the 4-5 podcast on Flickr. No. But, yeah, I used to cruise down that hill on that thing. That thing fucking ruled. And I went to the Autorama, the Buffalo Autorama, when they had the car show. And I still, to this day, have an autographed Sorel Bouque, B-O-O-K-E. He was a Frenchman who played Boss Hogg. He portrayed Boss Hogg on the Dukes of Hazzard program. And what's his name? James Best, who was Roscoe Pico trained. And when they took me up to the thing to meet him, you got to go up to this little, like, they were at the autograph table. I tried to fight him. I went after James Best, and my father, one of my parents' favorite memories of me, they had to restrain me from going after... I fucked that one up. I went after him for fucking with the Dukes. But here's the thing. I didn't like Bo Duke as much. I didn't like Luke Duke. And I don't know if it was just because it was my name or Bo Duke was cool looking because he had blonde hair. But I was all about Bo Duke, not Luke Duke. So I told my dad said that I would go around the neighborhood and I would introduce myself as Bo. And kids would come over the house asking for Bo. I swear to God, because I was such a fucking fan. And yeah, there's just Duke shit everywhere. I used to make my granny and grandpa my mom's like, to this day, I don't know how you got your my dad's parents, because they were very taciturn people. They're very stern people. They're very austere Germans. They didn't take no guff. They were not very fond of children, even though they went and had fucking 9 children. I don't know how that worked. The Greatest Generation, don't fucking ask me. I guess if you went over and shot a bunch of fucking Nazis and Krauts and Japs and had fucking their blood all over you and your helmet, you came home, you'd probably be a little bit fucked up too. Maybe you wouldn't be thinking straight. You have a bunch of fucking kids you didn't even really want. But that's how it went. And I would get them to dress up as Daisy Duke. And who was I? Who would I make my grandpa? My mom's like, I don't know how you got them to do that, because they weren't nasty. They just weren't. They weren't fun, friendly people to kids. And she's like, you'd get them to fucking dress up, and you would get Granny to put that stupid cape on. I was like, yeah, I'm influential, man. It's, you know, when I get creative. I mean, look at this. It started out as a tot in diapers, bothering my grandparents that didn't want to be in my stupid concocted fantasy. And now we come to present day, and I'm bothering Kevin Pollak. Kevin Pollak just emailed me back, and he said, I will take a look tonight. He wrote me back fucking immediately. Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ, Mike. Jesus Christ. Let's hit them all now while we got the muscle. Godfather 2. So, yeah, I don't know. That's an ongoing thing. But, boy, did I fucking take a swan dive into old Bother the Celebritiesville. I haven't really done that in a while. But I want the 1-2 punch, man. I haven't had two guys in one thing since I had Kirk. You know, since you had me and Tom Sizemore in... fake dog shit. I know he was gonna bother me. He said he's saving me for the last couple guys, because probably the best chance he's got, you know, if I'm in town, is me and Frank Stallone. Because Frank Stallone, actually, they still periodically email Luke asking him if he's working on anything, because they really liked one of his scripts, and then we ended up casting. I think I got the part, actually. I think he was supposed to play my part in Fake Dog. That's really what happened. I was trying to get... Frank Stallone, they loved me, and she's like, Frank is dying to get into comedy, and all the scripts we get are shit, and like the couple things you sent us we really liked, and Frank really wants to work with you guys, and he'll do it for free, and all this shit. And I already got Kirk. They wrote back too late or something, but I swear, like, even like fucking 6 months ago, they were like, hey, just checking in if you got anything. And I was like, oh my God, I swear to God, I'll show you the emails. You know, I got emails from, sorry, I'm not trying to like name drop, it's not Schwarzenegger, it's fucking Frank Stallone, but I got emails from Randy Quaid. I got fucking Randy Quaid, and he fucking emailed me back a couple times, and he sent me this really fucking weird video, because him and his wife shoot all this crazy shit. I swear to God, they shoot all this crazy shit in their house, and we were talking about movies from the 70s and all this, and the fucking video, I totally forgot about this. This is a couple years ago, probably 2-3 years ago. The video was, it was a ripoff of the scene. I mean, I think it was an homage to the scene from Network when Ned Beatty yells at, you know, Peter Finch. He's like, you shall not... What the fuck's he yell? The thing where tells him the whole thing about how TV works, and they're in that giant boardroom. So it was totally like that scene, but it was supposed to be the guy from Fox or some shit, and like fucking Randy Quaid sitting there with like fucking deer antlers on his head or something, and I was like, oh, that was it's pretty interesting. I'm like, oh, it was like a takeoff on that scene from Network, and he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, yeah, man, remember the end with Ned Beatty where he's like, that's not, no, it has nothing to do with Network. I wasn't even thinking of that movie. This is totally something different. I would never, and I was like, okay. I fucking got all fucking offended. I'm like, yes, you did. Yes, you did, Brett. Yes, you did. And Marcellus Wallace don't like people steal from Network. That's what he did. Anyways, all right, enough of my celebrity story. Enough about that shit, all right? Also, when I left you last week, I was going to Flappers to do a mic. Remember, I was going to Flappers to do an open mic. This is some grain iced tea. And I had a set that, I don't know, something's like, I feel like I kind of broke down a wall. Now it's just about, like, not taking it so seriously and just getting up. Just fucking staying frosty on the mic. Staying fucking at my fighter weight, you know. And being used to just being in front of people. So I'll just go through. I'll write one or two shitty jokes even if they stink. And I'll just go back through and just grab random bits out of the two illustrious years I've been writing and performing stand-up comedy in Los Angeles, everybody. So I'm like, fuck it, I just got to get up and do it. I don't care if it stinks. So I almost intentionally wrote a bad set of, like, one-liners. It was a bad call, Ripley. Bad call? These people aren't dead, Burke! You're not going to sleaze your way out of this one. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't know. I was in a weird mood. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So I got up and I started the set out with, there's a good amount of people. There's probably maybe 20 people in there. I'm like, give it one of those weeks where one of those nights where you hate your set, but you got to do it anyways. And I just held it up in the air and shook it. Everyone goes, oh, I go, yeah, it's one of those. I go, so buckle up. And the first like two or three, they were just, it was basically all one-liners, just short things. And the first two or three actually got laughs. My favorite new one is, I go, you know my favorite part about those new naked Donald Trump statues they got going around town? You could switch heads with Hillary Clinton and still the exact same body. Huh? And then they laugh, and I go, all right, that's the end of my political humor for tonight, or what do I say? I go, that'll do it for the political humor portion of my act. Get it, one joke. That one's doing pretty good. I like that one. That's funny, right? And they're just getting worse and worse, and, like, something came over me where I had my first taste of, like, torturing the crowd with my bad jokes and how much I enjoyed it. I made myself laugh. I've never laughed at one of my own jokes. It was so terrible. I started laughing, and I had to, like, get my shit together. And everyone's just like, oh, I'm glad you're enjoying this. It was fucking terrible. But, like, it was the most, I think it was the most fun I ever had bombing. I walked off with this big pep in my step, and I was like, yep, eat that, fuckers. It was awesome. I'm like, you know what? Fuck the crowd. Fuck these people. In a way, they're making me go up. I don't want to be here anymore than they do. I have a responsibility to myself to do this for some inexplicable and perpetually self-torturing reason. So, here's an ear full of shit, everybody. And somehow I actually I really liked it. It was great. I would go, ah! Nobody laughed. I go, you know, I've been watching all these videos of otters. I think they're really cute and they'd make a great pet and they would help me get chicks. I go, just to be a knucklehead, if I got an otter, you know what I would name it? Significant! And no one laughed. I go, get it? Significant otter? Ah! And then no one laughed. I go, fuck you, that killed at the commissary at the old folks' home today. And then that got a laugh. Stupid! I know. But I was like, yeah, you know, I don't have to go up every time and make this huge, fucking ordeal. I'm like, oh my god, I gotta have, because I never do anyways. I'm still, as much as I do it, I'm still like a quarter lazy and don't have my set together like I should, and I should know this backwards and forth. I understand, I gotta work on it, but like I was just kind of like, fuck it. So I did another mic, this place, I talked about it, the Fourth Wall. It's called the Fourth Wall, Sherman Way. Have you heard of it? What do you say we meet right by my place? And I didn't get called on Saturday night. I'm fucking over 2 for West Side. I'm getting my ass kicked at that place over here on Santa Monica, 3rd Street. I didn't get called. So I had time to make it to that one over by my place. And then Tree Man came. So only 3 people were there. And I still had the same set, and I didn't want to fucking do it. I'm just like, I almost did not go. I mean, it was so fucking Saturday night. I'm like, I don't fucking feel like, I'm so glad this place is so, it's like I can almost walk there. I could walk there. And I'm like, I swear, like, I like got up and sat down. I'm like, I don't feel like it. I got up again. I'm like, all right, let's go. And I'm like, oh, no, fuck it. And then finally, like, fucking asshole, go, just do it. Fucking, it's been like 2 or 3 days. Fucking, I'm trying to do one at least every 2 days. So I went, and I didn't feel like it again, and there was like 3, or I think there was 4 people there, plus Tree Man, right? And they were pretty good. It was a boyfriend and girlfriend, and it was a girl who looked like a drawing that would be on something in the 1920s. She looked like she could be on the wall inside of the Frolic Room. And she was pretty funny. She was pretty good. And she said a story that made me think of this time that I house sat for this dude. And I never made a joke out of it. I don't even think I've ever really told it. And I got up and just, I don't know, I was just so relaxed. And I didn't, because I said hi to everybody before and shit. And it's just like a supportive room. And I fucking told the story. And like, I think it did pretty good. Like, I remember getting a good handful of laughs in it. But it was just like I was talking to anybody. And I think it was the first time I ever, because it's all anyone ever tells me. Like, if you could just get up and talk like you talk to us, or just tell stories like you tell stories, like you'd fucking be really funny and kill. And I was like, yeah, but I can never get that relaxed. And I think this is the first time that ever happened. I completely winged it. And like my 4 minutes, like 2.5 minutes was this story. And it got, I think it got laughs. I don't know, Tree Man can tell me, but I think it got laughs the whole way through. And I was like, that was fucking awesome. And then I only just did a handful of my dumb jokes. And I think even those did all right. So it went pretty goddamn good. And then because there was only like 4 people in there, he let us do a speed round. So everybody else got to get back up and do another 3 minutes. So I got up and I winged some more shit. And that did pretty good too. And the guy, Joe, he's you know, the guy I told you, he kind of reminds me of Kirk a little bit. He's like, he stops me. He's like, hey, man, I want to talk to you. And I was like, oh, shit. He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing Wednesday night? And I was like, nothing. And he's like, yeah, man, I got a show. You want to be on it? And so he fucking, my first ever booked show, motherfucker. I never did good at a mic. And someone grabbed me after and asked me to do a book show. It was my first time. So I'm actually 7 o'clock. I got a fucking show in 2 hours as I'm doing this podcast driving home. That's why I wanted to get out of work earlier. And these fuckers held me up coming to pick up this piece of gear. Because, man, this fucking job we have out right now is just killing us. It's so much fucking damage and problems and nothing's going right. They got fucking dropped 2 of the fucking cameras in the water yesterday. Downs 2 of our fucking cameras. Our biggest renting cameras. Now I got to go in for service and all this shit. I'm like, God damn, what are you guys doing? They dropped the whole fucking lens in the sand. The whole fucking zoom lens. It's all fucked up. It's got all sand in the dials and shit. It's not good. But yeah, pretty fucking, pretty cool. And like I said, this is, I would get on shows and I would be fucking, I would be as scared as if I had to fight somebody. Like that's the level of like, I don't know what it was. It's completely irrational. I would be like, oh my God, I'm on a fucking show. I can't fucking do this. And I would just freak out. And now it's like, I'm like, I love getting shows. Like I'm psyched because I got more time and I can fuck around and it's cool. I'm glad I don't have that fucking feeling anymore. So I don't know. This ever rolling road of comedy that I'm on, everybody, that you get to come with me and experience all my highs and lows. Isn't this great? I'll bet you're really not tired of hearing it. I'm sorry. I had a slow week. I didn't have a lot going on. So I gotta pad this one out a little bit. So bear with me. But still sober. Over a month now. A month and a half. Never drinking again, motherfucker. That's it. I'm done. I retire. It's over. I'm Conor McGregoring that shit. Well, not really, because he came back. But, yeah, no, it's been too good. It's been too good. There's still, again, been a handful of times where I would have liked a sip-a-roo. But, you know, the good outweighs the bad. Way too much. I'm too old. I'm too old to bother with it. Whatever. Shut the fuck up. And I went to Westside last night. I had this fucking... There's days where, like, you get Chipotle. It's usually after back and legs day, because from like 11:59 to 12 in the afternoon, I am fucking ravenously hungry from 1 minute to the next, because I fucking put some. I mean, I fucking work so hard. I'm such a champion. I put so much effort and work and sweat into my workout. The next day, my body's like, "Hey man, you gotta fill that fuel tank, Buster Brown." So I'm like, and I want protein. I want chicken and like Chipotle fucking burrito is perfect. Nice chicken burrito. You fucking eat the thing. You hope you don't get fucking salmonella, right? And you'll be fucking shitting all over the fucking place and puking and dying, right? But usually I'll get it and it sits just right. It's a perfect amount of food. And sometimes you get it and it's like the effect you get when you flush a fucking cherry bomb down the toilet in high school. That's what it does to your inner. It just shreds my innards. And this fucking thing just sat sideways, and I was like, all day long, shit, and fucking farting. I was a mess. I was like, God damn it. I ate this thing at like 2, and at 10 o'clock at night, it was still bothering me. I was like, God damn it. That's maybe 1 out of 3 times, but Luke, why don't you just not eat a Chipotle anymore? It's because it's delicious. So, I thought most of it had settled, and I'm sitting there, and it was fucking packed. The layout of this city changes so dramatically from like 1 week to the next when everyone goes back to school in that last week of August. Like my fucking commute is seriously 15 minutes longer in the morning. And like all the streets that I usually take to get in, I can't take anymore because they're all backed up now. And like just everything gets fucked up everywhere. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what it is, but like the mics are jam packed. Because the last couple Tuesday, on a Tuesday, at West Side, they were sparsely populated. Now it's fucking like, it's like there's seriously like 80 people and it's fucking packed to like capacity. Like people are standing. It's like standing room only, for real. And it was loaded in there. So, which sucks. But if you get picked, it's great. If you don't, then it sucks because, or it sucks because you have less chance of getting your name pulled. Because they only pulled 25 names and seriously like 50, 60 people or something like that show up. And I was sitting there, and I was like, I felt a little rumbling in the old, sorry, this is disgusting, everybody, I'm just going to warn you now. I felt a little rumble in the old tummy, and I was like, oh, it's all right, I'll just do a little one-cheek sneak. And I let out the most fucking putrid fart. It was horrendous. It stunk up like probably a 7-foot square area around me, and it would not fucking go away. I mean, it hung in this air. It was like one of those really noxious, like, deep ones from the fucking deep bowels of your stomach. Like, right between, like, the bottom of your stomach and, like, where your actual asshole is. It was, like, down there just, like, percolating and just bubbling like a beaker in a fucking, in a science fiction movie in a villain's lab. I was like, ugh, it was awful. And I was so fucking embarrassed. I'm like, there were so many people around. I'm like, I don't think they're going to be able to, like, pinpoint it to me. I was just like, oh, my God. What hath hell wrought? I felt bad for everyone in there. I didn't get picked, so I left. I left and left a big stink in there. And, like, not even from telling my jokes. Like I usually do. But, yeah, that was that. Oh, yeah, and, you know, one other thing I forgot to mention is when I emailing these. I've gotten so deep into this now. There's only so many, about emailing the famous people, there's only so many agents in the fucking town. And a lot of people have, like, 3 and 4. It's so weird how some of this works. Like, a lot of people... But, you know, most people have 2-3 agents, a manager, publicist. You don't have to bother with the publicist or the voiceover agent and shit. A lot of them have that stuff too. I don't have to bother with those guys. But like, Brad Pitt has one manager. And then McLovin has like 6 agents, 2 managers, 2 publicists, commercial. I'm like, oh my. I'm like, how does this guy get paid after a gig? How does he take any fucking money home after all these motherfuckers took a percentage? Why do you have so many? I don't know. I don't understand how they have fucking, who else was I going? I think Schwarzenegger has like one guy. Was it Schwarzenegger? Who was it? It was somebody. Oh, no. Yeah. Dice has had the same old Jew for like 30 years. One guy. And he's got his own fucking firm and it's just him. You know, he's like old school. But you got to be, now I got to start to watch out because I make a form email and I just change the names in it. That's how I can do it so fast. And I can hit like 10, 12, 15 fucking people a day. And you just switch the names around. But then I got to watch each guy. I got to go through and see who their agents are. And I got to copy and paste the agent's emails into the fucking, you know, who I'm sending it to. But I start to forget when you start getting deep, and especially when you like go quick or you're distracted, that a lot of the same guys represent the same, a handful of actors. So you'll send the same thing to the same agent twice with 2 different names in it. And it's like really disingenuous. And it's almost like a spam thing. And they're probably like, hey, asshole. I think only once or twice ever somebody called me out and was like, hey, you realize you just sent me the same thing for 2 actors, right? Or something. And I think the guy even tried to help me. Most of them are pretty nice. But I sent one to fucking Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And just before that, I had sent it to... every once in a while, I'll throw a little different thing at the end. You know, I'll throw some little quirk or some little individual thing they did. And I sent one to like... I don't know, fucking Alan Alda. And I was like, by the way, MASH was awesome or something. So I went to send the thing to... Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who played the comedian in Watchmen, but I forgot to take that last sentence out. And one of the agents was the same guy. He was the same fucking dude from the same email. And so it was so very obvious I wasn't, you know, that I said it. I had just sent it to someone else. I was like, oh, mother, dude, dickhead. I was fucking mad. I was like, don't do that. You gotta be careful. That was kind of a non story. I drove all the way across the LA basin to go to, Thousand Oaks for this interview. I saw this ad on Craigslist for bartenders needed, no experience necessary. And I'm like, oh, well, I got a little experience in that. Ah, you son of a bitch. Yeah, you sure did. You left me in the wedding. Now you're going to leave me. I got to work with some other company here. You fucking cocksucker. Oh, you're a dirty piece of shit. Yeah, just on him. Dave. I never heard a thing about that. He never emailed me. I blocked his number like a pussy, but he still has my email, and I never heard a thing from old gay Dave. about bailing on him, I still feel bad. I, you know, it's like, he was fucking, like I said, he was fucking me and fucking himself the way he ran it. So it's not like, you know, I wasn't being like, oh, I don't feel like working and just left. It was a ridiculous situation. It's a very difficult situation. Tony Soprano. Anthony doing Tony Soprano, sorry. So I'm like, you know, maybe another place to do it. So I drive there, and it was like 50 fucking miles one way. A Thousand Oaks is so far. And they're having the interview. They have these, like, I don't know if they have these all across the United States, but they have, out here they have these little bartending schools with an actual, like, simulated bar inside where, like, a bartender shows you how to make drinks and shit, and, like, they certify you. It's a whole thing. You pay for, like, a course. It's, like, $300, and then they get you job placement, too, allegedly. I don't know. It seems like it worked. I think it worked. But, so the office where I'm getting interviewed is behind, there's the bar, it's going on, there's a class going on, and the guy's like, can I help you? And I'm like, oh, I'm here for an interview. And he's like, oh, go meet fucking Chester back there in the office. And I go back and sit down, and the guy starts talking to me, and within 3 minutes, I was like, oh, this is a scam. They want your money. You have to sign up for courses. It doesn't tell you this in the fucking Craigslist post. It doesn't say you will have to pay for it. It just says no experience necessary, like job placement, blah, blah, blah. And I fucking totally forgot that it was one of those, because, like, they've been on for, like, forever. I think I looked into one once, and they emailed me, and I was like, how does this work? And I go, well, you sign up for a course, and you pay. And I think even that took, like, this is years ago, and it took, like, 2 or 3 emails to go, yes, you have to pay for the course. They try to fucking pull you in, like, which they did. They got me, like, the fucking Death Star tractor beam of stupid. I drive all the way. I want to put my face in my hand, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, this fucking interview dragged down for, like, 15 minutes, and I'm just like, I don't have the money. I'm not paying the money. I'm not paying to go do bar courses. I'll find some other gig on the weekends. I'm not paying $300 for. I don't need it that bad. It's one fucking day a week. What's it going to take me to pay off the? Well, I guess it'd be 2 nights of working basically to pay that off. 2 Saturdays. I guess. Yeah. Look, that math doesn't actually sound that bad. Yeah, I know. Voice of reason. I didn't think of that till just now. But still, I don't have fucking $300 to give him. So I'm just like. He's talking, I'm just like, words, 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 I want to leave, words, 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 need coffee, words, words. And this is 2 fucking days in a row. 2 days straight. I went, those Starbucks, like the little drive-up ones, are the worst. They're 10 times worse than the busiest fucking Starbucks that are walking things, right? They fucking take forever. And 2 days straight, there was someone else ahead of me that, I'm not kidding, took fucking 10 minutes to order. 10 minutes. And I finally just walked away. I'm like, I'm fucking leaving. And both times I had a cup that I was getting a refill for. All I needed was a refill. My entire order, and I had cash on me. My order would have taken 45 seconds to fucking do. And I'm sitting there waiting for these fuckheads. I'm like, what the fuck? There was one by me, and there's one out in Thousand Oaks. Both of them. The exact same situation, both places. So I had to go back to that one. I was so fucking pissed. Anyways, so that was a giant waste of time. I was so mad. I'm like, God damn it. So, I went to go see that movie. I was right by a movie theater, and it was early fucking, you know, Saturday at 11 o'clock or something. I'm like, I'll go see this movie, Don't Breathe, that just came out. I'm trying to keep Don't Breathe and Lights Out straight. They came out within a month of each other. They're both weird, quirky, original horror movies that are both low budget and both killing and making a fuck ton of money on, like, a no money budget. What's it called? I'm doing it right now. I can't fucking keep them straight. Lights Out, which came out, I think, last month. Man, did it come out this month? Holy shit, I think they might have both come out in August. God damn, I think they did. Lights Out, $5 million budget, $100 million in revenue. That is fucking, that's like that Insidious shit. That's when it all started with, what's his name? Blumhouse and who's the guy that did Insidious? James Wan. And he kept doing it. Then he went and made that fucking, he made the Conjuring for like $8 million, and that made like $100 million. And it's like, you think you'd see more of these. You really don't see that many of these movies. Like, we had a 1-2 punch in August. Both of them crushed. And I'm like, you think maybe people want original movies again and not the fucking endless reboots and sequels? I've been reading a lot of shit about box office, like how bad this year is going. Even though some of these movies are making fuck tons of money, they're keeping these studios afloat, but like they should be making money hand over fist, and like they're kind of just getting by. Because there's so many just terrible movies that are underperforming. Like that fucking Ben-Hur movie cost over $100 million, and it's made like $15 million. It's getting fucking slot. I think opening night it made like $8 million. It's getting fucking crushed. I feel bad because that dude Jack Houston is the main guy, and I'd like to see him get a break. He's great. That was Richard Harrell from fucking Boardwalk Empire. I love that dude. And I don't know, he's talked to me on Twitter. He seems like a fucking really nice guy. But I hit him up, of course, to be in my skit. And then you heard back from him. But yeah, it's they're similar in title and just in vibe. So Lights Out is about, I don't know if you saw the trailer. You know, I knew virtually nothing. I hadn't seen any trailers. I just saw it was really high on Rotten Tomatoes. And I always like giving those newer ones because I like Lights Out, even though it was a little cheesy. I still did it again. I liked fucking I got it right. Yeah. No, wait, hang on. It's Lights Out and what's the other one? Lights Out and Don't Breathe. Okay, I'm getting mixed up. I did like Lights Out, even though it was a little bit cheesy, but it was fun. It was like kind of cheesy fun, but the scary parts were fucking scary as shit. I thought it was pretty scary. But I'm telling you, go see that in a theater before it's gone, because it's going to be way less effective if you don't see it on the big screen. But this one's about, I knew barely a little about it. I'm like, I'm just going to go and fucking check it out. Everyone's saying it's good, whatever. Again, I think it's a little overrated, the score for this one, Lights Out, because it's one of those, the worse these years get, the easier it is to give a mediocre movie a way better score than it deserves, because it's surrounded by so much other shit. It's kind of like when you go out with you look like me and I'm an average looking dude at best, but if you send me out with like a handful of fucking fat dudes that are horseshoe bald or something, it makes me look a lot better. And maybe some hot bitch will fucking wrap a fucking lips around my ball bag, you know what I mean? But it was okay. I've never had this impulse to say this about a movie ever. It felt like a remake of a movie from the 70s that didn't exist. It felt like a fucking, this would have come out in like 1976. And starred like Lee Van Cleef. It really had that weird claustrophobic 70s Last House on the Left-ish. But, it, you know, it's not. This is an original movie. And it was kind of a cool idea. I don't know. It's all right. It's okay. But it was funny because the director did an AMA today on Reddit, Ask Me Anything, where you can write things in and they'll answer you. And I wrote it and I was like, this feels like, I said exactly what I just said. I tried not quite as dismissive. I'm like, I've never had this impulse, but it feels like a remake of a movie from the 70s that didn't exist. I go, if you were making this in 1976, who would you cast in the Stephen Lang part? I'd vote Lee Van Cleef. And then he just wrote, Lee Van Cleef is perfect. I couldn't think of anyone better. And I was like, hey, he brought me back. What's his name? Pedro Alvarez? What's his name? Something Alvarez? Something Alvarez. I don't know. He made, what did he make before this? He just made some other movie that was, oh, he did the goddamn, I didn't see it, and I don't think I would ever bother to see it, but he made the Evil Dead remake last year. I know some people liked it. I guess it was super gory, and some people were into it, but, yeah. What's coming out this week? Anything? What else am I excited for? I really want to see Hell or High Water again, and there's still a handful of cheap seats where Captain America 3 is up, and I really want to see that again. It's such a, it's only got, like, because it's only up in one or two screens, it's only got, like, two fucking showings a day. And I want to go, but it's so long. It's 3 fucking hours. And I want to see Hell or High Water again, man. I do. I fucking do. When I don't fucking bust my balls. I finished that True Detective. True Detective Season 2. Everyone told me. I can't remember. Besides, like, and these are things I've never even seen. Besides, like, the final season of Dexter, the season finale of Lost, all these things that I have heard universal across the board disdain for. True Detective Season 2, everyone I know said Season 1 is great. Don't even bother with 2. It's so bad. It's terrible. Okay. Now, Season 1, I just got HBO, so forgive me. Like a month ago. 2 months ago. Season 1, like, it took, really was slow going. It took me a while to get into it. And then the last, second half of Season 1, I really liked. And the finale was fucking awesome. That bad guy was so fucking creepy and weird. So Season 2 is a little different. This one is about kind of a crooked cop that's kind of working. He does like side, he's got his case going, and he also works for this like gangster who's played by fucking Vince Vaughn in the best part he's ever, I have never liked him more. He's, I mean, as good, the only other two things I've seen a lot of, you know, I loved him to death always for Swingers. I mean, that Ricky or Trent's one of my all time, and so is Ricky Slade from Made, two of my all favorite characters of anything. I love those two guys. I haven't liked them in anything this much since Maid came out in 2001. It's one of my favorite comedies ever, honestly. But he's like dramatic in this, and he is such a fucking badass. I don't know what it is. I just fucking love. That's my favorite character in anything since, honestly, since Richard Harrell in Boardwalk Empire, which I started two years ago. And I'm like, this is one of my all-time favorite TV characters ever, that guy. And now this is the other one. Like, he's got to be he's in my top 10, maybe top 5. I mean, he's up there with Damage and Dan Connor from Roseanne. I love this fucking guy. I don't know what it was. I just loved him. He was so cool. And he was just so fucking evil. But, like, fun evil? I don't know. I don't know what in the fuck people are talking about. It is one of the best, like, just single series. I think it's the best single series show I've ever seen of anything. I was fucking blown away. The last episode, I was just, like, sat there on the couch and I was like, I can't believe how fucking good that was. Like, it's got a depressing ending, and like there's all these awesome fucking shootouts, and like there's so many cool. I fucking loved it. It was anyone. Fuck you, anyone. If you hated True Detective, let's talk and let me know what the fuck you didn't like about it. It was great. It had this weird like it had a real Mulholland Drive feel to it. They almost kind of ripped off Mulholland Drive from David Lynch. It had all these like just the way they showed the city. It was so noir and cool. Because the other one takes place in the South. This season takes place in L.A. Maybe that got me more excited. In fact, the final episode, he gets off on Laurel Canyon off the 101. But this is my exit! Like, when I'm coming from Hollywood, that's where I get off. And there's this fucking heartbreaking scene where he goes, oh, my God, when he goes to see his kid for the last time. What? I'm like, if this goes on a minute longer, I'm going to fucking ball my eyes out. Because father-son shit gets to me. And it was like, oh, there's like no dialogue. It was a heavy goddamn, oh, it was so fucking sad. But great, and I didn't want it to, not like in a way that it was badly written. I didn't want to happen. I don't want to spoil it for you if you go and watch it, but I did not want to happen what happened to the characters. I'm like, no, fuck, I wanted to get away, son of a bitch. I was so bummed, but god damn it, that's like the best fucking show I've seen in years, man. That's, God, I loved fucking season 2. I don't know what the fuck people are talking about. I loved every fucking minute of it. It was great. Colin Farrell, and I keep forgetting the chick's name. She's like really famous, but I didn't recognize her. I know her, she's a big name, and I was like, that was her that whole fucking time? Or I'd keep forgetting every episode because she looks so different. But I don't know, man. Check it out. Give it a shot. Don't fuck the haters. That's me show. You should watch it. I loved it. Fucking Vince Vaughn ruled. Oh yeah, one more thing. The Lights Out movie. It had one of the single worst run of trailers in a row that I've seen in like long time, years. I can't even tell you. There was one fucking bad movie after another. I was like, oh my God, that looks fucking terrible. It was, okay, where are they? It was the Resident Evil final chapter, horrible. Fucking, I can't believe, I mean, how do you fuck those movies up? It's right there. The game is so good and scary. You literally could have just filmed someone playing the game and it would scare the shit out of everybody. Those fucking games were terrifying and they were awesome. And I just want to make these terrible fucking CGI fest action movies out of them. God, they fucked them up. I always heard that there was like, initially they offered it to George Romero from Night of the Living Dead in like the late 90s, and he had a script that was like amazing. And the studio was just like, no, this isn't stupid enough. We need it way dumber for the American public, so they all go. This is too fucking smart and challenging, so we're not, why would we let you film this? The guy that invented fucking zombie movies, for fuck's sakes. But I don't even know if that's true, but I've always heard that for a long time. I think it is true, but whatever. Awful. Then there was another, some movie about a fucking Ouija board. It's because Halloween's coming up, so it's all these like ghost movies. This Ouija board thing that was fucking, looked so bad. It's the only thing, like, do they not learn? Like, all these movies, like, they made Lights Out for they made, fuck me, I can't keep these straight. The other one, where it's dark and the monster comes in the darkness, they made it for $5 million, practical effects, and that was the scary part, was what you didn't see and how the clever use of, like, just like Jaws. Like, Jaws worked because you hardly ever saw the shark, and when you did, it was like, holy shit, because the fucking thing wouldn't work. It was supposed to be in the movie way more. It wasn't supposed to be like that, and it ended up, that's what made it so scary. So they can't figure this out, and there's all, it's like this CGI fest of fucking, with kids bending over backwards and running up ceilings and all this shit. I'm like, why do you think these other movies work? Because they were simple, you dummies. You're gonna pour all this money into this and have a shit script and whatever. It's just awful. Then there was this fucking... There's a trailer. It looks like a fake... I can't believe this is real. It's for this movie called When the Bow Breaks. And it looks like a Lifetime movie about an abusive... Well, I think it's the dude dates his chick, and it's almost like a Fatal Attraction thing, but with black people. He dates his chick, and then she breaks up with him, and she becomes a psycho stalker and is, like, ruining his life. And the whole thing just has this, like, sultry, like, song playing in the background. And it basically tells you the entire movie. It shows him dating this chick, and then things start to go wrong. And the chick's like, you'll be mine no matter what I have to do. And there's just, like, people shooting it. But holy shit, does it look bad. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then there's something else called, I think it was called Morgan? It's almost like a total ripoff of Stranger Things. It's like this chick that, this like misunderstood girl that has telekinetic powers. She's got an extra power. She can move things with her mind. Marvel fans, you know what? She wanted to move old Stan's feet right out of the theater. When I saw this awful trailer, you'd have to have an extra power to make it through this piece of shit because it's so boring and redundant. An unoriginal and unimaginative Excelsior. You've seen better the Big Gary ripoff from Brian De Palma. And the best part in the beginning, you see all the naked girls in the locker room and they got the little pink baby nipples. I could stand a half a rod even though I'm 92 years old. I got an extra power. I can still get a hard on even though I'm almost an octogenarian. Excelsior. Do we need another one of these fucking things? It looks so dumb. It looks so fucking stupid. Ooh! It's gonna stink. What a bad run of movies. I was like, I'm telling you, it was wonderful. You gotta fucking, that's why I hate going to that stupid, any of those AMC theaters or whatever. It's like fucking 7 commercials, 8 or 9 trailers. Like, it's seriously like almost a half hour before the feature starts. You're like, Jesus fucking Christ. And then, you gotta get there and sit through them because you might not get the seats. But, I fucking hate that. The other night, we went to... God, I'm running out of shit already. What am I at? Yeah, this is going to be a limp to the finish line episode. Never bought it all. Actually, I might time out just right. We went to this screening for... Dude Bogues directed this thing for this girl. There's like this metal... She's like a suicide girl. She's covered in 10 fucking toes! She's like a goth chick, and she bangs a bunch of rock stars. Leonard Small, dressed like a rock star. Rides a Harley. And this is the first one he made was, I was struggling with this before talking about it because I feel like an asshole because this chick is, she's chasing her dreams and she's got her vision that she's exploring and putting on film and work, and she's not, at least she's getting off her ass and making stuff, but like it's not good. It's just, I feel bad knocking anybody because she's working, you know what I mean? It's just lame. This one is called, I doubt she'll ever hear that. I pray she never hears it. I don't take it personally, honey. It's just, maybe it's just not my cup of tea. I'll leave it there. The first one was this thing called Bloodbath, where just like, what happened then? This chick went crazy and starts slashing. I'm telling you, like, I'm not even exaggerating. This is the quote-unquote plot. Like, this girl takes she took like a drug and didn't know what she was doing or something. So they use all these just like hammy, like visual, cheap fucking 70s horror movie gimmicks. Of like the camera going all crazy and she's like slashing people and like laughing and there's like blood everywhere and dude Bogues actually let her use his apartment to get fucking fake blood all over his walls and like destroyed his fucking he had to paint his whole fucking apartment, paint his living room. We got blood everywhere. I'm like, why would you, Karen? Why would you do that? That were the only walls we had, Karen. Oh, the landowner would have never known. He really fucked the shit up. So this is her second feature. The only cool thing about him is it has Twiggy from Marilyn Manson. And we're like, holy shit, it's fucking Twiggy. The guitar player. But in this one, this is the story. It's called Bloodbath. I think you can check it out online. It's on YouTube or something. Don't tell her I talk shit about her. She's a nice girl. She's nice. I'm not trying to like ravage her. I'm just, it's puzzling to me. I don't know. Not Luke, you made a lot of shit yourself. I mean, what do you think you are, Stanley Kubrick? No, I don't. I understand. I made crap too. But I made some awesome shit too. Don't fucking lie. You know I did, you son of a gun. But Bloodbath, the story is a witch. It starts out as an old... Spoiler alert, everybody. If you're going to watch it, get ready. I don't want to give away the plot. Too bad. Give away the smash ending. it's like 6 minutes long. This old lady, it starts out in like, she's got a nice house, and then she goes in her garage, and she has, this whole thing is just, it's just a fucking, it's like torture and gore porn. This chick just likes horror movies and wants an excuse to have blood and guts and shit everywhere. So the old lady goes in and like grinds up people, she like kills people and then takes their body and puts it through like a fucking grinder and dumps all the blood into a bucket. It's like just, you know, all this gore effects and shit. It goes on and on. And then she takes the buckets and she fills this bathtub with blood. So it's out in her yard, it's all gothic looking. And she gets in the tub and then the old lady emerges from the tub and now she's young. And when she bathes in the blood, get it, guys? She turns into a young, nubile, goth chick from L.A. covered in tad fucking twos. And then she goes on a date. She meets Twiggy. And then she brings him home. Kills him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She brings him home. Here's the twist. He kills her. And then grinds her into the blood, fills the bathtub, and gets in it. And then he gets out and he goes like, hey, man, that was the best bath I took in years, or something like that. And it ends, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, it's just like, and so they have this little director's Q&A. I'm telling you, I feel bad. I feel bad trashing this chick. She's like, she's nice. She's, like I said, she's trying. And they're like, where did you, and she wasn't like a super snotty type of artist, but she had a little bit of like, I'm an artiste thing to her. And someone goes, where did you get the idea for this? And she goes, it came to me in a dream. A lot of my movies and ideas, they come to me in dreams in the middle of the night. And I just say, I would like to put that on, like, film or something. And she, like, put the back of her hand to her head. And I was like, oh, God. I was like, I have a dream that I'm leaving now. Let's go. So we went to a bar down the street. Fuck, I didn't. Oh, God damn it, I didn't fill my lungs. I'm 0 for 2 on Bill Burr last episode. I'm really sorry. But I was just like, I'm just thinking, like, what a waste of fucking time. Like, that whole thing. Like, they had to make 40 gallons of fake blood and put it in this tub and, like, what are you doing? You can't think of anything better to make. You just, like, want blood and guts and shit everywhere. I don't know. Just fucking stupid. Whatever. I make things about dick jokes, so who the fuck am I to point a finger? I just take that pink finger and stick it in my fucking eyeball. Being such a fucking prick, you know? Chick's kind of hot, too. She can use a... She's hurting for a squirting. What else happened, man? Sorry, this isn't, I'm sorry, it's my book now. Oh, we're going to shoot... Okay. My favorite industry term, as you know. Ready? Sizzle reel. Get it? It's a reel that's so hot it sizzles. A sizzle reel, everybody! We're going to shoot a sizzle reel. Ugh. So we got this idea. One drunken night, sitting around Scott Rocks and a sick motherfucking Murphy. Thespian, humanitarian, egalitarian, Scott Murphy. Sitting around a fucking pool, one thing comes to the next, and we start fucking throwing around ideas, And we came up with this dumb idea for, like, one of these, because it really doesn't take much to have a show or even a concept on, like, the Travel Channel or Food Network, where it's like, guy goes to a restaurant and does some kind of thing. Here you go. Here's your show. So we came up with one of those where Scott goes to bars and does... We came up with kind of a couple bits. It's not a terrible... You know, it's... This one is like... Yeah, we're just trying to, like, make some money. Get something going. So, we looked into a bunch of... Well, Scotty did all that. He really took the fucking ball and ran with it because he hates his job and he's really trying to get the fuck out. Robin, get the fuck out and do something else. So, we checked in with these bars and they were like, yeah, you got out in Orange County, but they're like, you guys can come shoot this thing if you want. And the exchange was, if it gets picked up or whatever, we shoot it and your bar gets free exposure and all kind of stuff. You know, nobody pays each other, but you'll be on the fucking show and it'll make your place look cool. And we actually got some pretty good ideas for it. It's not, I wouldn't bother with it if it wasn't, you know, didn't have some kind of potential. But, by hook or by, I'm not going to bore you with all the goddamn details, but, like, we have a really good, I think we have almost a definite chance of it getting pitched through someone else who's already going to pitch somebody and is going to kind of shoehorn our show into it too, or I forget exactly how it's working, but it's going to get pitched, okay? So we're going to shoot it on Sunday. Maybe I'll have some stories about that. I don't know. God, I'm 50 minutes in. This is. Oh, I tell you, it's rough out there. I don't know why. I didn't have a lot of stuff happen this week, man. It's been the same old shit that I just keep talking about. I don't want to fucking bore you too much. I mean, bore you beyond an acceptable amount, which is basically what this podcast is about. You know, I got a whole long bit I've been saving for a rainy day like this one where I don't have a whole hell of a lot happening, but I don't really have enough time to get into it because I'm almost home. I got 10 minutes, I can do this. What can I fill in 10 minutes? What the fuck can I talk about? I knew I was going to have to fucking do this. This is like how my sets have been going. I've just been kind of riffing. If it's a 3-minute set, I'll write 2 minutes. And be like, all right, try to think of something someone's talking about and then that you can jump in there and just kind of fucking, you know, riff extemporaneously. So I'm going to try and do that tonight. 10 minutes. I'm in Valley Village. I just got off the Coldwater Canyon exit. What the fuck can I fill this with? Think of a story. Give me a minute. Forget about this dead air. I'm thinking. I don't know why it's tough. I had a lot of coffee today. I don't think it's wearing off. I got nothing. Yeah, fuck it. Thanks for listening. I will see you crazy people next week. I hope everybody has a good 3-day weekend coming up, buds. Good times, great oldies. Don't drink too much. Don't fucking underage girls. Girls don't fucking underage guys, even though you probably wouldn't get in the same amount of trouble a guy would for doing the same thing. But, yeah, party hard. See you on episode 52. Sorry, this one was a little lackluster. Didn't have a whole hell of a lot happen. I tried. Kiss my butt. I tried. Hi. I like you. Hi. Yeah.